and both have many of the attributes of being high on an addictive drug. The neuropsychiatrist John Smithies cautions that there are significant differences between the brain areas activated by the two kinds of mania. Nevertheless, he notes some similarities too.
One facet of the many faces of religion is intense love focused on one supernatural person, i.e. God, plus reverence for icons of that person. Human life is driven largely by our selfish genes and by the processes of reinforcement. Much positive reinforcement derives from religion, warm and comforting feelings of being loved and protected in a dangerous world, loss of fear of death, help from the hills in response to prayer in difficult times, etc. Likewise, romantic love for another real person, usually of the other sex, exhibits the same intense concentration on the other and related positive reinforcements. These feelings can be triggered by icons of the other, such as letters, photographs, and even, as in Victorian times, locks of hair. The state of being in love has many physiological accompaniments, such as sighing like a furnace.
I made the comparison between falling in love and religion in 1993 when I noted that the symptoms of an individual infected by religion may be startlingly reminiscent of those more ordinarily associated with sexual love. This is an extremely potent force in the brain, and it is not surprising that some viruses have evolved to exploit it. Viruses here is a metaphor for religions. My article was called Viruses of the Mind. St. Teresa of Avila's famously orgasmic vision is too notorious to need quoting again. More seriously, and on a less crudely sensual plane, the philosopher Anthony Kenny provides moving testimony to the pure delight that awaits those who manage to believe in the mystery of the transubstantiation. After describing his ordination as a Roman Catholic priest, empowered by laying on of hands to celebrate Mass, he goes on that he vividly recalls,
"The exaltation of the first months during which I had the power to say Mass. Normally a slow and sluggish riser, I would leap early out of bed, fully awake and full of excitement at the thought of the momentous act I was privileged to perform. It was touching the body of Christ, the closeness of the priest to Jesus, which most enthralled me. I would gaze on the host after the words of consecration, soft-eyed like a lover looking into the eyes of his beloved. Those early days as a priest remain in my memory as days of fulfillment and tremulous happiness, something precious and yet too fragile to last, like a romantic love affair brought up short by the reality of an ill-assorted marriage."
The equivalent of the moth's light compass reaction is the apparently irrational but useful habit of falling in love with one, and only one, member of the opposite sex. The misfiring byproduct, equivalent to flying into the candle flame, is falling in love with Yahweh, or with the Virgin Mary, or with a wafer, or with Allah, and performing irrational acts motivated by such love. The biologist Lewis Wolpert, in Six Impossible Things Before Breakfast, makes a suggestion that can be seen as a generalization of the idea of constructive irrationality. His point is that irrationally strong conviction is a guard against fickleness of mind.
If beliefs that saved lives were not held strongly, it would have been disadvantageous in early human evolution. It would be a severe disadvantage, for example, when hunting or making tools, to keep changing one's mind.
The implication of Wolpert's argument is that, at least under some circumstances, it is better to persist in an irrational belief than to vacillate, even if new evidence or ratiocination favours a change. It is easy to see the falling in love argument as a special case, and it is correspondingly easy to see Wolpert's irrational persistence as yet another useful psychological predisposition that could explain important aspects of irrational religious behaviour,